This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. They've gathered all the nonsense from around the world to mock it. This is The Nate Darling Show.
You guys were excellent today.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll see you inside.
Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Alrighty. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
It's weird. We're recording on Monday night because Tuesday, our normal recording night, is Valentine's Day. So,
happy Valentine's Day.
Hope everybody had a great Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I hope you had a good night last night, future Jason.
Ka-ching. Coming up on the show today, we'll not be talking about Valentine's Day because who knows how it's going to go.
Right.
It's going to go great for all of us, I'm sure. But what we will be talking about, that was really awkward, wasn't it?
Yes.
What are college Republicans doing? Well, we'll look at one stupid thing.
Okay.
I'm gonna be editorialize and say it's stupid.
Okay.
There's a new protest in town, and it's not about Donald Trump at all. It's very exciting. Plus, there's a paper that had to apologize to President Trump. A foreign paper from the Dominican Republic. We'll get into why that happened and more fun stuff as well coming up on the show today. Gentlemen, how was the week? Jason, I'll start with you.
My in-laws are in town, mom and dad, and just doing a lot of work around the house. We went out to eat on a Sunday night before Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And had sushi, and then went to Art Street.
Again?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, we saw like 5 different pieces that we hadn't seen the first time we were there.
Ah, okay.
So, like, one that I'm really glad that I found. and then Greg was playing. The Free Badge Serenaders were playing.
Greg Sabin.
Yeah. So that's what I did. That was like my big, big weekend. It was pretty fun.
Excellent. Kareem, how about you? What were you up to this weekend? Or this past week?
Thursday night, I went to the Crocker Art Mix.
Ooh.
That was fun. The Elements Brass Band was getting their groove on. Then there was a burlesque show at the Crocker.
Mm.
And then there was a Goss fashion show. So that was fun and really wet because it was raining really hard that day.
Oh, I thought you were just really excited.
Not that time. The burlesque show wasn't that great. Friday, I don't think I did much. And then took in some refugees last night. My friend and his dad came down from Yuba City.
Yeah, if you're not from the area, you might have heard about it on the news, the Oroville Dam. The dam is okay. It's the area where they're letting extra water out.
Yeah.
That was kind of having an issue. There was a problem with the main one, so they went to the backup one, which is dirt. And shockingly, they saw some erosion. So there's a little bit under 200,000 people who were told to evacuate.
Yeah, and it took him 7 hours to get from Yuba City to Sacramento.
And that's normally about an hour drive.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit crazy. So as of now, as we record this, things are looking better. They're starting to make repairs on what was eroded. The lake level is coming down. There isn't any more rain coming until Thursday. So fingers crossed that everything will remain good.
Will remain good, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I left home, there was a plumber in my front yard because the city or the county figured out that we had a water leak.
Oh.
And my landlord thought it might have been our, he was like, oh, let me come check your bathrooms and whatnot. And I was like, I don't think it's in the house. And then we noticed a tree in front of our front yard had a puddle in it.
Oh.
Like there's a puddle like right in front of the tree.
Sure.
And everything else is dry on the street. Like mm-hmm. every house on the street is, the front yard is dry. And you look and we just have this big ass puddle. Oops.
That's fine.
A puddle in the front yard, and so I was like, yeah, hey, I think I figured out where the leak is. And it turns out there were we have a PVC pipe,
mm-hmm.
and it was caught between two roots.
Oh.
And it like this pressure of it cracked it in half. So yeah, that's the fun that I've been having.
There you go. We went out to brunch on Saturday. I used Yelp to find a place, and I know our friend Sushi Brian hates Yelp, but I still use it. And I found, because we're going up to Woodland to go to Costco, and we're like, oh, we need to go have brunch somewhere. So looking for some place new, and I found this place called the Elephant Shack in Woodland.
Hmm.
And there is a mural of elephants on the side of it. It's way off the beaten path, and it got pretty good reviews. So it's, we'll go check it out. And it was fantastic. It was a wonderful revelation. It's always nice to find a new place that you haven't been. The food was basically the type of food that if you were making it at home and really taking time to do it right, that's what it would taste like.
Mm.
So that was the type of thing. And it's kind of where it's the type of place where you go up and you order, and then you go sit down and they bring it to you, but it's not fast food. It's like I ordered blueberry pancakes, and the lady comes around from the back. She goes, "Hey, by the way, we just ran out of fresh blueberries." As I was ordering them.
Man.
So I was a little disappointed, but I was also very heartened with the fact that they were using fresh blueberries and had a limited supply.
Yeah.
Regular pancakes. That was a delight. Saturday night we watched the movie about Brian Wilson that was starring John Cusack. I forget the title of it.
Love and Mercy.
Really good movie.
Yeah.
Good movie. It was a little depressing. Brian Wilson's story is not really a happy one.
Yeah.
But fantastic. If you like the Beach Boys at all, very much worth a watch. It feels a little like a documentary. It's really a biopic.
Yeah.
It was tough seeing John Cusack in that role because he didn't really exude it, but the guy who played the young Brian Wilson was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very, and of course, Paul Giamatti was in it because he's in everything.
He's in everything. Yes. Hardest working actor.
He is.
You know, that movie was pretty amazing. I just want to also reiterate because, like, I grew up, my stepfather listened to the Beach Boys, so I've always heard the Beach Boys throughout my life.
Right.
And my wedding song, my wife's and I wedding song is God Only Knows,
mm-hmm.
Which is like when you...
That may have been the whitest thing you've said since I've known.
That's just the way it is, right? I mean, but that song is just so amazing. And... I had no idea and did not realize it until much later in my life, you know, because that's kind of, I was never into the Beach Boys. You know what I mean? Like that was not,
yeah.
I was like, come on, Surf City, USA. Come on. You know?
Yeah. We watched The Accountant Saturday night.
How was that?
That is actually pretty good.
I've been wanting to see that, and it's, you know, it's one of those movies that, it was in the theaters, it was out of the theaters, and then it's like, oh, it's on demand.
Yeah, it's worth watching. It's, okay. Yeah. There are twists and turns, and it was really good.
Very cool. Here's a little bit of the Beach Boys.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt.
It was really cool in the movie how they went through and sort of detailed how he got these sounds and where he was, like, had these ideas of how to produce it and do this stuff.
Yeah.
And for the time, it was completely out of left field.
Right. Yeah.
So it was an interesting revelation on that.
Yeah.
On that note. And of course, Sunday was the WWE Elimination Chamber.
How was that?
It was an okay pay-per-view. Congratulations to Bray Wyatt, the new WWE champion, who won the Elimination Chamber match.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Spoiler alert.
Do they just throw the ring, like do they just strip the belt from somebody like every like couple of years and just like say, okay, everybody go for it?
That's not really how any of this works.
How's this match, I'm not familiar with it at all.
The Elimination Chamber match involves six superstars.
Okay.
And including the champion in this case. And they have pods on each corner of the ring. So it's sort of like a cage match. And there's a superstar locked into each pod. And then there's two other superstars who start the match inside the chamber. Now, the Elimination Chamber goes like this. When you pinned or you submit, you have to leave the chamber as you've been eliminated.
Okay.
It's a pretty simple concept.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it starts with two guys, and then every 5 minutes, one person is let out of their chamber and joins the fight. Ah. Until everybody is out of their chambers, and then they fight until there's only one person who has not been eliminated.
Who was the first person who got tossed over the rope and eliminated?
Well, it wasn't. It's not like a Royal Rumble where you get tossed over the rope. You have to get pinned in the ring or submit.
Because there's usually somebody that gets pinned pretty easy that you get rid of.
No, they didn't. That was not the rub on this one. The first pin, there was a bit of a distraction, if you will. It was a pin from behind. And then the person who got eliminated got very angry, would not leave the chamber, and then beat up the guy who pinned him, and then he was easily pinned. So the first two went very quickly once they went. But it was very interesting. But, it was fun. And so we watched that, and then we watched the DVR of the Grammys.
Oh, my.
The Grammys, which is mic'd slightly less good than this podcast.
Yeah.
Ask James Hetfield if you don't believe me.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the very few things in the Grammys that I was really looking forward to.
This is what you do. This is music. This is your thing. How do you mess that up? How are the Academy Awards, the Golden Globes, and all of those shows better mic than the music shows? And it seems to happen every time.
Well, you know, they weren't all the Academy Awards is often mic'd very poorly as well, but they had that screw up. Adele started her tribute to George Michael and then stopped because it wasn't right, and I'm okay with that, but for some reason they decided to take a George Michael song and rearrange it. And then Adele would sing it. So even when she stopped and restarted, it really wasn't very good.
Mm.
Unlike Bruno Mars doing Prince. Bruno Mars doing Prince was fantastic, as you would expect.
I still haven't finished. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it was exactly as you would expect Bruno Mars doing Prince to go.
Yeah.
It went flawlessly.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars was great.
He was great.
He picked a song that people know, that they would be able to sing along with, that they would have fun with. And you know what? He didn't change Prince's arrangement. Do you know why? Because you're honoring Prince as being great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you change his arrangement? You wouldn't.
Right.
So what are you doing, Adele? What are you doing, Adele? I will say this. Adele was winning a lot of Grammys. she won Record of the Year.
She won so many, she wanted to give one away.
Mm-hmm. Record of the Year. She won Album of the Year, which was an upset because Beyonce didn't win. It's very upsetting for a lot of people. She won Song of the Year for Hello. Best New Artist was Chance the Rapper, who thanked God so many times, God went, shut up about it, all right? I've heard enough from you, boy.
Yeah.
And what's that three on your hat for? Is that for Babe Ruth or the Trinity? What's going on? You guys fans of Chance the Rapper?
No.
I haven't really, yeah, I mean.
Best pop solo performance was Adele. The best duo group performance, 21 Pilots, one for Stressed Out, and this was my favorite moment of the night. They went up on, before they went up on stage, they came out of the row, and they took their pants off. And they walked up on stage in their underwear, their pants, they threw their pants on stage, and you're like, what's going on? And so they start to tell this story about how they're sitting in Columbus, Ohio. And one guy said, I called this guy, said, come over to my house. We're watching the Grammys. And he's like, who's going to be there? Oh, just me and a couple of my roommates. Okay. So they realized at the end of the night that they were sitting there watching the Grammys, just hanging out in their underwear. Because apparently they're a lot like our friend Sam Platts. And they said at that moment, this is how the story goes, that if they ever found themselves in a situation where they were at the Grammys, that they would do it just like that in their underwear. So that's why they accepted their award for best pop duo group performance in their underwear.
As a group performance.
The best traditional pop vocal album was Summertime, Willie Nelson Sings Gershwin.
Oh, over Dylan,
no,
huh?
Go back and look at, listen to that.
He beat Andrea Bocelli, Bob Dylan, Josh Groban, Barbara Streisand.
Wow.
Best pop vocal album was Adele's 25. Best dance recording was Don't Let Me Down, The Chainsmokers.
Never heard of.
You've never heard of The Chainsmokers?
No.
I'm a little surprised, Kareem. I've heard of The Chainsmokers. The best dance electronic album was Skin by Flume. Let's see. I'll scroll down through here so we can get the best rock performance. Black Star by David Bowie. No, no, it wasn't. That was an award you gave him because he's dead.
They beat Alabama Shakes.
They beat Alabama Shakes. They beat Beyonce. Beat Disturbed. Beat 21 Pilots doing Heathens. No, 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 no. That was a Lifetime Achievement Award that you gave David Bowie. Sorry. Best metal performance was Megadeth, Dystopia. The problem was the house band played a Metallica song when Megadeth came up to win.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Oh, that is so messed up.
It sure is. It sure is.
Wait, Korn's still making music?
No, well, you can if you want to call it that. Best rock song was Black Star by David Bowie. No, no, it wasn't. It just wasn't. Best rock album, Cage the Elephant won for Tell Me I'm Pretty, which was a nice surprise for me. Beat Blink 182. I don't know who that band is. Panic at the Disco and Weezer. And the best alternative album was Black Star by David Bowie. Again, no, it wasn't. It just wasn't. I'm sorry. And no disrespect to David Bowie, but David Bowie has not made really good music in about 30 years. Yeah. So, yeah, you can scroll through them. It's Grammy.com to get to all of those. And my apologies if you happen to love something that I crapped upon. But, hey. This is America. We still get to crap on things. Speaking of, our president was disrespected by a newspaper in the Dominican Republic, but not in the way that most newspapers disrespect our president by printing what he says. This paper ran a pic of Alec Baldwin instead of Donald Trump. They meant to have Donald Trump. They pulled a picture of Alec Baldwin. And they apologized. they issued a correction, but not before the image went viral online. As we all know, Baldwin has parodied Trump on the late-night sketch show Saturday Night Live since last summer. And Trump's watched it and calls it not funny at all. They've become a staple of the show's cold open. Although, I will say this, Melissa McCarthy, have you guys seen Melissa McCarthy
yes.
the past 2 weeks doing Sean Spicer?
Yes. Both times.
It is amazing.
Yeah. She's
amazing.
Yeah, they're pulling out the stops this year. Like, this could be them jumping the shark. You know what I mean? Like, this could be their year where it just, like, goes off the hook.
That Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, that was amazing, too. Yeah.
That entire female cast of Saturday Night Live, and Melissa McCarthy's not in the cast. She's an incredibly talented actress. As is Alec Baldwin. He's a great actress. But the female cast members have really stepped up and taken this opportunity to basically both middle fingers up at the Trump. It's sort of the comedic extension, if you will, of the Women's March.
Yeah, but the Kellyanne Conway one with Jake Tapper,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was amazing.
That was amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the only bad part of Saturday Night Live is when that one writer was bullying Barron Trump on social media, which is not okay. He's 10.
Yeah.
And she lost her job. But, hey, live and learn. All right, so protests go on everywhere, every day. People are protesting Trump. People are protesting his nominees. People were protesting for the Second Amendment in Sacramento the other day. I didn't know you needed to do that, but okay. While all that's going on, the stars of Sister Wives have joined hundreds of polygamous families protesting bigamy laws. That's right. Millions of people have had a view into the real-life workings of a polygamous family on TLC's show Sister Wives. That used to be the Learning Channel, by the way.
Yeah. NPR in a couple years.
So they have gathered on the steps of the Utah State Capitol in Salt Lake City, they joined hundreds of other polygamous people and supporters in protest of a bill that would keep polygamy a felony in Utah. The star of the show said, "I'm a father, a husband, and a lover. Not a felon. Not a felon. Although you are." It was the first time since 2012 that the Sister Wives stars have made a public appearance in Utah. Brown and his wives, Mary, Janelle, Christine, and Robin, moved from there to Las Vegas in 2011. Last month, Brown attempted to challenge Utah's bigamy law with the U.S. Supreme Court, but that was denied. Utah's current polygamy law currently states that married people cannot live with an extra spouse or claim to have a second spiritual spouse. The new bill, sponsored by a Republican, Mike Knoll, would adjust the definition of bigamy to say someone is guilty if he or she purports to marry two or more people and cohabits with them. That's according to the Salt Lake Tribune.
That is an overreach.
I would agree with that, too. It's like, okay, you get one spouse. So if you want benefits for a spouse, you get to pick one spouse.
Yeah.
But the hashtag is families, not felons. The proposed legislation would also subject those convicted under it to harsher penalties if they're convicted of additional crimes such as domestic or sexual abuse. Though, and I think that's part of the whole reason for overreach is in these situations, there have been instances where the dominant spouse is abusing his multiple spouses until he just can't do it anymore.
Child abuse. Welfare fraud and forced labor.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one of the bigger recipients of welfare.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard. You have to have the bigger house and you have that many more people.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that that goes through.
But think, if you had five women that were all collecting welfare, you could probably afford a nice house.
Yeah.
And, well, you would have to afford a nice house because you would need at least five bedrooms.
Nah, they could do with two and a half.
What about the kids?
Oh, they had to sleep with their moms.
In the family bed?
Of course.
Is that what you're doing? Yeah. You're going to have the family bed?
It's going to be like a whole mattress, like in like a third or two thirds of the room. But it's cool. I mean, they would definitely be like, you know, the memory foam stuff.
Mm. There are roughly 30,000 polygamists living in Utah. So, by the way, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, forbid the practice. They abandoned it in 1890.
Yeah, it was upon condition. There was a condition upon them becoming a state.
Yeah.
It was like, want to be a state?
Yeah. Would you like to be part of the United States? Well, we have some rules here.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or whether you don't. That's how we roll here in the good old USA. Meanwhile, and this was something that I had talked about when it happened, when there was the boat accident with Marlins pitcher Jose Fernandez, the families of the men that were killed in that boat accident have sued the estate of Jose Fernandez. The attorney who has represented the families of Eduardo Riviero and Emilio Jesus Macias told the Sun Sentinel that the claim was filed last Friday, and the other one will be filed on Monday, each family seeking $2 million. Authorities say Fernandez had cocaine and alcohol in his system at the time of the September crash, although it's not clear whether Fernandez was driving. The attorney representing Fernandez's family told the Sun Sentinel a settlement is highly unlikely, saying the official crash investigation, has not been completed, but he expects it to find Jose Fernandez was not driving the boat when it crashed. I don't know how they're ever going to tell that.
I don't either.
I mean, they found it crashed into a jetty. I don't know how you figure out who was driving.
Probably just by blood in that area, general area.
Maybe.
If it's there still.
Maybe. But, yeah. I mean, I believe it was his boat. And when we talked about it back in September when it happened, he was the one who was reaching out going, yeah, we need to go out on this boat ride in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And, I mean
you would just think that they would have just offered just to get it out of the way.
Right. Be like.
Like somebody would have, you would have thought somebody would have been smart enough to say, okay, let's just offer it. Like it's coming. Like you should have known it was coming.
Yeah. Why wait and sit through a court trial and all this other stuff? Yeah. And on the other side, would these other guys have made $2 million over the course of the rest of their lives.
Right.
But, maybe, but, maybe not.
Yeah, right. But if you offer them something.
Right. If you would have gone to them and said, listen, we feel really bad. We'd like to give each of you $1 million.
Yeah.
Or $900,000 or whatever it is. Yeah. But again, if you do that, because of the way lawyers sort of run through everything here, if I offer you $1 million, then you go to somebody and they'll go, there'll be a lawyer that says, oh no, I can get you 2.
Yeah.
Now, of course, by the time you finish with all the legal fees, you're still going to end up with
$1 million,
yeah, and then you're going to pay taxes on it, and you're going to end up with half of that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a sad situation. And yeah,
so somebody should have told him, like, hey, let's offer them this as a gift,
right?
And then just have them sign a waiver saying that they won't come back and sue you.
That's what's going on. We will, of course, keep an eye on that.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, President Baldwin. President Baldwin, Jason.
Oh, President Baldwin's cool.
Kareem.
President Baldwin is amazing.
He is cool. Sitting at the little desk there.
17 times as the host.
Mm-hmm. Up next in Cool or Tool, polygamy. Polygamy, Kareem.
One is enough to be attached to. So I'm going to say his too.
Jason.
Yeah, one can say that if monogamy to one person is not your thing, then you should maybe, don't commit to that type of thing.
So you're going Tool.
Tool.
Yeah, bigamy is Tool. Or polygamy is Tool. Sorry. There's look, it's exhausting trying to keep one woman emotionally fulfilled. More than that is impossible for a man. I'm sorry.
Yes.
It just is. You're neglecting her emotional needs. All right. Of them, you're just doing it. It's Tool. And finally in Cool or Tool, boating. Boating, Jason.
Boating is cool.
Kareem?
Boating with drunk white people is Tool.
That is Tool.
Well, they were all Hispanic.
Yeah. Same difference.
Same difference.
Boating is cool, and here's why. If it were not for boating, we would not have motor boating. And that's going to do it for Cool or Tool. Hey, you're cool if you're supporting the show by shopping Amazon through that Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Yes, you are. Thank you so much for doing that. You know you're saving money, helping out the show, and paying the same price you would if you didn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're enjoying a free show. It's the least you can do.
It's the least.
It's the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Do it today or tomorrow or whenever you're going to shop Amazon.
Whenever you want.
You know you're going to do it. All right. So when we started the show, I said, what are college Republicans up to these days? Well, they were distributing Valentine's cards because it's that time of the year when you distribute them. Except a Central Michigan University Republican student group is actually apologizing for a Valentine's card that mocks the Jews who died in the Holocaust. I didn't put that in Cool or Tool. I thought it was understood. hold on. I'll put it up here so you guys can take a look at it. We do it.
I saw this story last week, and I thought for sure, I was like, this can't be real.
Yeah. Oh, it's real. But here's the thing. It's not quite as cut and dried as the headlines would have you believe. The College Republicans group handed out gift bags to students last week, including one with a card that said, and I quote, my love for you burns like 6,000 Jews. And it has a little picture of Hitler's head up in the corner.
Wow.
Yeah. The group apologized on Facebook, because that's where you do that sort of thing, saying it doesn't condone anti-Semitism, and the card was made and placed in the bag without its knowledge. The group did not identify the member who placed the card there, though. That's what you really need to be doing. The spokeswoman for Central Michigan University told the Mountain Pleasant's local paper, The Morning Sun, that the school is, quote, deeply disappointed. I would go a little stronger than deeply disappointed, because they may be college kids, but they are adults, and they should know better than to do that. Just going to throw that out there.
I want to see another version of the actual card.
You want another version?
I want to see another picture of it because this one looks like it could have been done in Photoshop.
You mean they didn't really have a picture of Hitler?
I don't know, man. Yeah, I know.
You will defend anyone, won't you?
I'm not defending anyone. I'm just saying it's suspect.
It is.
It's suspect.
In a lot of ways. That's why we're talking about it. It's very suspect. I don't know that. By the way, here's a tip for you. I'm just going to throw it out there. I know Valentine's Day has passed, but for next year, any card with a picture of Hitler is probably a bad idea.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
And it's time for Speak Out from the Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York. It's one of our favorite things. It's winter, so it's getting a little bit more frequent again. With the free college we have that could be in place, this undermines the class of how well we provide... Hold on, I have to start this again. This is awful writing. Let me throw this up on the screen so you can actually see that...
Okay, Adele.
Right. With the free college we have that could be in place, this undermines the class of how well we will provide for good teachers. Next, we will cap how much teachers in colleges are allowed to get for tuition per student. Seems like teachers are no longer the number one job anymore with the shortage of substitutes. That's okay. Jesus is a teacher too. And you see how number one he is nowadays. Did that make any sense at all?
No.
Nah, I mean, that's okay, man. Wow.
Jesus was a carpenter, by the way, a carpenter.
Yeah. He taught us. I mean, yeah. I mean, I see what they mean, but at the same time, come on. Nothing else makes sense.
Next. How can a parent in their right mind send their child to school knowing that their child has head lice? That's a fair question. I guess because you don't want to spring for a babysitter or take the day off. Look at the people protesting Trump. Screaming, burning, beating people simply because they hold opposing views. What did these people do when Obama slammed the SCOTUS repeatedly? What did they do when Obama issued illegal and unconstitutional executive orders? Answer, nothing. But what unconstitutional executive order did Obama... That's what the judicial branch would be there for.
Right.
To go, hey, or Congress. you know how Congress just rubber stamped everything Obama.
Come on.
People who seek the position of village or town justice should do it for the right reasons. Making money is not one of them. All village town justices receive calls at all hours of the day and night from residents and or law enforcement. It's part of the job's responsibilities. Ask any village or town justice, and you'll find they work tirelessly for little pay. Signed, Town Justice.
Yeah, that's a suspect.
That's a town justice's spouse is what that is. Sitting here watching the Senate Democrats make fools of my party reminds me of a rudderless ship in a typhoon, with the leaders that sulk and whine infesting the hallowed halls of the Capitol. My Democratic Party will surely lose the midterm elections as badly as the last few elections. Chuck and Liz need to stop grandstanding and elephant tears. The Dems have never been so disorganized and lacking of true leadership. LBJ and Tip, where are you when we need you? That is a very old person who wrote that letter. And they're not wrong, by the way.
No.
It's just a very old letter. Hey. Cheap city taxpayers constantly complaining about any new taxes but still wanting a quality city need to wake up. Being cheap results in a cheap way of life. The city will continue its slow death. And finally, school districts complaining about a shortage of sub teachers should not be surprised when schools only pay $9 to $15 per hour. It's a disgrace for the pay to be so low. Plus, admins that avoid student misbehavior reports and do not stress strong discipline adds to the issue.
That sounds like a college student or a millennial that's returned from college to teach at his old school and then realized, oh, they lied to me.
There isn't a shortage of teachers. It's not going to be great. Oh,
poor kid.
Now what's going to happen? That's music in the background. You look confused.
No.
Everybody, Kareem's like, what's going on?
No, I was trying to wait to hear what he was playing.
I was waiting for the transition.
Well, I was watching the Grammys, and I had heard this fella before, but I didn't know his name because his name's Lucas Graham, and I really dig his vibe. That's what I'm saying. So I went on Spotify and found a song that's been played 656 million times.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
This song is called 7 Years. And we're going to wrap the show up with that. So we'll be back on Friday with a fresh new episode for you. And you can enjoy the voice of Lucas Graham on The Nate Darling Show. Bye.
I always had that dream like my daddy before me. So I started writing songs, I started writing stories. Something about that glory just always seemed to bore me. Cause only those I really love will ever really know me. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told. Before the morning sun when life was lonely. Once I was 20 years old. Only see my goals, I don't believe in failure. Cause I know the smallest voices, they can make it major. I got my boys with me, at least those in favor. And if we don't meet before I leave, I hope I'll see you later. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told. I was writing about everything I saw before me. Soul. We've traveled around the world and we're still roaming. Soon we'll be 30 years old. I'm still learning about life. My woman brought children for me, so I can sing them all my songs and I can tell them stories. Most of my boys are with me, some are still out seeking glory, and some I had to leave behind. My brother, I'm still savvy. Soon I'll be 60 years old. My daddy got 61. Remember life and then your life becomes a better one. I made a man so happy when I wrote a letter once. I hope my children come and visit once or twice a month. Soon I'll be 60 years old. Will I think the world is cold? Or will I have a line of children who can warm me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Soon I'll be 60 years old. Will I think the world is cold? Or will I have a line of children who can warm me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Once I was 7 years old, Mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. Once I was 7 years old.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.